Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of the show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. The first series of shows has been a general overview of the big picture of debt in four stages. One, pre-debt, before we take it on. Two, the comfortable stage of having debt. Three, the slippery slope. And four, the abyss, where we fall into when we are having huge financial problems. The show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Also, you should get a notebook, paper, and pen for later in the show. First, each week we start with debt issues in the news and facts about debt. Nearly 3% of homes that were once occupied by their owners in the country were vacant in March of 2008. That is up from less than 2% 3 years ago and is the highest since the Census Bureau began publishing this number in 1956. Foreclosure filings in 10 towns and cities within 10 miles of military facilities, including Norfolk, Virginia, home of the Navy's largest base, rose an average of 217% from January through April of this year. Nationally, the rate was 59% in the same period, according to RealtyTrack, which tallies bank seizures, auctions, and default notices. The biggest surge was in Columbia, South Carolina, home to Fort Jackson, where the Army trains recruits for combat in Afghanistan and Iraq. Properties in some stage of foreclosure rose 492% from a year earlier in that city and area. The second largest increase was 414% in Woodbridge, Virginia, next to the Marine Corps base at Quantico. Foreclosure filings tripled in cities surrounding Norfolk Naval Base and Camp Pendleton Marine Corps Base near Oceanside, California. So we're seeing that the military are getting hit with these foreclosures all over the country, and it's an important note that the military families were, of course, favored targets of the subprime mortgage industry. The word from Warren Buffett is that the United States is already in recession and will be longer as well as deeper than most people expected, he said in an interview in Germany. He said the United States perhaps is not in the sense that economists would define recession, but with two quarters of negative growth, but the people are already feeling the effects, said Warren, the world's richest man. It will be deeper and last longer than many think. In another matter, in speaking about derivatives, Warren Buffett was very critical. He said, it's not right that hundreds of thousands of jobs are being eliminated, that entire industrial sectors in the real economy are being wiped out by financial bets, even though the sectors are actually in good health. Buffett complained about the lack of effective controls. He says, that's a problem. You can't steer it. You can't regulate it anymore. You can't get the genie back in the bottle. Speaking about General Motors, General Motors said that 19,000 hourly workers, a quarter of the unionized workforce that already has been drastically pared down, have accepted buyouts. Most of the workers will depart within the next month as GM formulates a plan to deal with plummeting demand for sport utility vehicles and pickup trucks while gasoline prices climb above $4 a gallon. The proportion of GM workers who took a buyout is more than triple the acceptance rate at Ford, where 4,200 of 54,000 workers took deals offered as part of a similar buyout program. It's not looking good for the automobile industry. and what is worse, for the workers who are losing their jobs. Mesa Air said it may seek bankruptcy protection. Mesa Air provides flights for major airlines, and it said the other day that it might be forced to file for bankruptcy protection if it loses a legal fight with Delta Airlines. Looking at Ford Motor Company itself, it said it is going to be making major adjustments to its production plan and revising downward its near-term North American automotive profit outlook. Ford is reducing 2008 production of large trucks and SUVs, again, as price for gas soars and customers move more quickly to smaller and more fuel-efficient cars and crossovers. That's good news for the little guy. Ford said it now plans to produce 690,000 vehicles in North America during the second quarter, a further reduction of 20,000 units from previously announced, and a 15% decline from the second quarter of 2007. The company plans to produce between 510,000 and 540,000 units in the third quarter, down 15 to 20% for the same period last year. It just keeps getting worse for the auto industry based on these numbers and facts. And finally for the week, Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard University said that bankruptcies are rising, and this rise in bankruptcies is not about something that happened last week or last month. She said it's about the fundamentals. It's about declining wages, rising costs, inadequate health insurance, job instability. More hard-working middle-class families simply can't make it in the economy, and it is getting worse. So that's the news for the week. And we'll go over now to what's good about the situation, and that is taking control of our finances ourselves and creating some balance. We're speaking about being in the comfortable stage of having debt, and we just spoke about Elizabeth Warren. Many of the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in this presentation today are from the works, theories, and books by Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Tyagi, and I recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. This show is a continuation of In Sequence past shows. I just want to review a little bit what we last spoke about, and that is getting a balanced percentage in your bare necessities. And so this is the cut stage. We're going to look at the bare necessities and see what can be trimmed on the big ticket items to get to that 50% for the bare necessities, or what we call the must-haves. And we're looking at home, insurance, car, food. These are the areas of the bare necessities. So by way of recap, we want to revisit the big purchases you probably haven't assessed in a long while. Overspending in these areas means financial drain, and the balancing of this factor in the equation is the basis for a successful money plan, not saving a few pennies on double coupons. These claim more of your money than anything else, these bare necessity items. And once you get this right, you won't have to do it again for a long time. These are recurrent payments you make every month, or for years for that matter, and once they're straightened out, they can be put on the back burner without any more worrying, and you will be able to save for the future. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. So as we have seen in the past, we want to calculate and set that bare necessities target, which is not too much or too little. And it's a simple formula. We look at our net monthly income, which is our after-tax income, and we multiply it by 50%, and that is the target for bare necessities. That's the amount that we want to use for our bare necessities. So that you should be actually paying each month for your bare necessities as your target or ideal. And you, of course, will compare that with what you have already calculated you are in fact spending on your bare necessities, and the difference is what you need to save. That is your goal. So you'll subtract what you are actually spending, or should I say what you should be spending, from what you are actually spending, and that's what you need to pare or to cut down. And it is a fact that most people are over 50%, so we will need to cut or squeeze out these additional expenses. So we're going to cut the easy stuff first, and we looked at insurance, homeowners, life, automobile insurance. And the principle is that we make a lot of phone calls, we inquire, we shop around, we go online, and we can save quite a lot of money by doing that. Most people are paying too much, way too much, and they don't even question it. So we should be shopping every 2 years is the rule of thumb. Get multiple quotes, at least from 5 different providers. Go back to your current provider with the quotes and ask if they can beat it. Ask your provider about discounts. Have one provider, if they offer a good discount for package deals for insurance on your home, your car, and life insurance. So that's an important way to deal with your insurance. Another important point is don't let real estate agents get the insurance for you on your home purchase. And if they did, shop now to get it changed. Otherwise, you're paying way too much for that insurance. In terms of deductible, get large deductibles, the largest you can, which wouldn't hurt you to pay if there was some minor issue that came up. Deductibles will make your insurance premiums go way down. I just had an issue personally with my errors and omission policy. One company was offering a policy price. I shopped around. I was able to get a policy for half the price with just increasing the deductible a little bit. So it makes a big difference in insurance. We also noted that your credit rating affects your insurance quotes. And if your credit rating is low, get a quote, but then shop around in another 6 months after you've caught up a little bit on your credit. And again, in another 6 months, as your credit rating improves, you will be able to get a better deal on your insurance. And of course, if you get a better deal on any of these insurance issues, switch now. You don't have to wait. You can do it immediately. You will even get some premium rebate. And also, always watch out for extras and add-ons you don't need when you get a policy. There's a lot of junk that gets attached to these things that you have to pay for. And you want to go for reputable companies. Look at the ratings of the companies online, from Moody's, from S&P, and take the lowest premium from a reputable company, and you'll be saving some money that way. The next thing to consider is getting rid of insurance you don't need. Sometimes it's not worth the money, or it's just a plain ripoff. This happens a lot in the credit card area. For example, credit card disability insurance, also known as credit unemployment insurance. These are expensive and flimsy plans with very lousy benefits. Just get to have some payments skipped when you are sick. The interest usually keeps on running, and you have a bigger bill down the road. So there's no real benefit, and yet it is costly. Another kind of credit card insurance is credit card loss protection. This is an outright scam, and even the FTC agrees. Basically, if your card is lost or stolen, they're saying, well, you're insured for that and are protected. But in fact, you are already protected by law. You don't have to pay anything beyond $50 according to law. So you will be ripped off if you have this kind of insurance. Another kind is a theft, identity theft protection insurance. Identity theft protection is, again, a scam. There is really no benefit being offered from this. They may make a few phone calls for you, but beyond that, you're just paying for no true benefit. Then there are the specialty insurance products, and these you have to be very careful of. For example, insurance products for life insurance for your kids. Now, your kids don't have any income and they don't have any dependents, so they don't need any insurance, life insurance. What they need is perhaps a college savings plan instead. So you don't want to have that kind of insurance. Another kind of insurance that you don't want is whole life or universal insurance, which we often call cash value insurance. This is life insurance with a savings plan attached to it. It's usually very expensive. It puts you in a position where you lose control of your savings. There are usually high agent fees that get associated with it. And so it's not really that beneficial for you. What you should get is term life insurance and invest the difference if you have the money on your own. But we're trying to pare down our bare necessities, and presumably you don't have the money, so that's just money that you will be saving. Another slick kind of insurance product is the mortgage life insurance. This pays off your mortgage if you die, but the cost of it is usually 3 times more than ordinary life insurance with similar benefits. What you should do is just buy more life insurance to pay off your mortgage and then have some left over for your loved ones rather than pay for this expensive mortgage life insurance. In fact, you should just cancel that ASAP. Another kind of insurance is accidental death insurance. So life insurance with a twist. You get the benefit only if you die in an accident. Well, as only 5% of deaths are from accidents, that is not a good bargain. Insurance is curious in a way because you're betting that you will die, and the insurance company is betting that you'll live. But in these kinds of situations, you are stacking the odds against yourself. And then also, if you don't have any dependents, then you really don't need life insurance. You should cancel it. No one is there for the money for their care if you pass away. So that's not a sound use of your money. And finally, there are a bunch of odd insurance offerings out there, all kinds of specialty things, termite pest control insurance, extended warranties on all kinds of products, travel insurance for accidents. I've even seen alien abduction insurance. Most of these are incredibly overpriced, very unlikely to happen, and are a waste of money. So rethink those, or consider very carefully if these are offered. They're usually just attempts to extract more money from you at the time you are purchasing something like a travel ticket. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. And I am speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. And the next thing you can do to save on your bare necessities besides all of this insurance savings is to reshop your mortgage if you're a homeowner. This is an important area. It is an area that requires extraordinary attention, yet it's really the biggest opportunity to save money, although it is a very dangerous territory for most people, particularly in today's current market. You need to be alert when you're doing this, and you have to always be aware that there is cheating going on. Even though there are big companies involved, there is a lot of cheating going on. The golden rule, from my perspective, is that you need to hire someone to represent you and make them actually explain the paperwork to you, the mortgage, the interest rates, all of that. This is a really important value of having someone to represent you. I don't think anyone really these days should go into a mortgage refinancing without having some expertise there by your side, going over the paperwork with you to explain it clearly and to also question the broker and the mortgage company if things do not seem to be right. Professor Warren outlines 6 major rules when we are getting a mortgage refinancing. first rule is to arm yourself before you start shopping around. And the first step in arming yourself is to get your credit reports. You can get those for free once a year as a matter of law. And there are three major companies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And each should give you one credit report a year. There are online options to get credit reports, but you have to be careful about getting your credit report online because often you have to agree when you're getting your credit report directly online is that you would submit to arbitration for any of the issues that come up. This is not a consumer-friendly situation to have arbitration. You're giving up some valuable legal rights. So it's better to get your credit report through the mail, even though it may take a little bit longer, a couple of weeks, but it will give you that safety of not violating or waiving, I should say, your right to argue some of these points in court. Then once you have your credit reports in hand, you have to spend the time to look at them very carefully. It's been stated statistically that one out of every four credit reports has a serious error on it. So you want to make sure that yours is not one of those. And if there is a serious error, then you need to clean it up. Some things that we note is that, first of all, to clean up the credit report, you don't want to use a company to do that. Most of these companies are in the process of just extracting money from you and are not really going to help you at all to clean up your credit report. So don't use any companies. This is something that you can do yourself. It is not that impossible, and you will know when you look at your credit report that something doesn't make sense. It's not you. It's wrong in some ways. And what you do is to look for the errors, and when you get those noted, then you need to notify the credit bureau immediately in writing. And I would even suggest that you do it by certified mail return receipt requested. It's a good thing to have done. When an issue comes up, you have some proof that it was sent, and credit reporting companies do not often respond promptly or according to the law. So you're creating a track record, a paper record for what you need to do to protect yourself. Then when you look at your credit report, make sure that, of course, your name is correct and your Social Security, and that all the accounts that are listed there are yours. Common errors are that they are someone else's accounts that have a similar name. Also, if you had filed bankruptcy before and it's been more than 10 years ago, that should no longer be noted on your credit report. For any other negative kind of information, anything that is more than 7 years old should not be on your credit report anymore. Credit inquiries by anyone that are more than 2 years old should not be there. missing notations for charges that you had disputed, if you've in the past disputed some charge and they didn't note it, then that is an error. So you need to remind them of that. If there's any account information that is obviously wrong, you have the right to dispute that. An account may be listed as open that was closed. That's another common error. And as I said, once you find these errors, you note them and you write to the credit reporting company. You can even go online. They sometimes have form letters to do this that are offered from consumer aid groups. And then you send that letter off, certified mail return receipt requested, and you need to sit back and see how they respond. Because the interest rate you get and the terms you get on your refinancing will be heavily related to how good your credit is. And one interesting side issue is that sometimes people don't go into the credit reports before they ask for the loan, and they are offered subprime loans rather than if they deserve a prime loan. And this has happened quite a lot in the past. And so the terms aren't as good, but you don't really know why. And it is just an attempt by the lender to get more out of a person. And this happens quite a lot more to minority groups, that they will be somehow put into a subprime category, even though they did deserve a prime rate on their mortgage loan. So be careful. The next thing you want to arm yourself with is your financial information. These no-doc loans are probably not going to be good terms for you if you're really seriously in a situation where you're looking for a better term in the long run. So you're going to have to prepare yourself with your documents, your pay stubs, bank statements that you have for some months in the past, and several years' tax returns. These are the kind of things that the lender is going to want, and it is really necessary to have this information in hand so you can present it to them and know what your circumstances are before you get into the application process. Another way to arm yourself is to get the current mortgage balance from your present residence that you are refinancing. This you can often get from the most recent statement, or if not, you can call the bank, and sometimes you could even go online and get what the amount is of your current mortgage. You also have the right to demand a payoff statement from the bank, and they have to respond. So it is very useful to do that going into a relending situation or a refinancing situation, to have this information right away. And then another way to arm yourself is to know what your house is worth. The value of your house is critical in getting your mortgage interest rate and how much equity you have. The more equity, the better interest rate you will be able to negotiate. So knowing how much your home is worth, you can get that from a professional appraiser. Of course, that costs money. Sometimes real estate people can help you out there, looking at comparable homes for sales in your neighborhood. Those are the ways that you can get some idea. Also your tax assessment rolls, but that doesn't always give you exactly the value of your home on the open market. But that's an important point for you to come to the table with, is what you know your house is appraised at. So that's point one, arming yourself. We'll continue in the future with the next 5 points on refinancing your home. And the final tip for the week is, one way to protect yourself from identity theft is actually to get your credit report, and you can get it free, as I said, once a year. And if you look at it carefully, you may be able to see that there has been some identity theft right there on the credit report. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.